It's good to see everyone here tonight. I like being in O'Leary. Normally, I feel very comfortable here, and when I saw Chris have to put this on, my anxiety skyrocketed a little bit, but that's okay. I don't think I made any terrible mess up with that. We're going to start reading a few verses in Romans. Actually, that's where we'll end reading. We're just going to read some verses in Romans. Romans is a great book to learn about the gospel. It's not necessarily always the simplest of books, but we'll start reading a few verses in Romans chapter 1, and hopefully you'll see that the verses that simply tell us about the gospel, they're very easy to understand. Anyone of any age could understand what God is trying to tell you through these verses. So we'll start reading Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." So that's why it's called the book of Romans, because this book was written to people who were living in Rome. Verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." This is really why I started looking into Romans for the meeting tonight, was really just the impression of these first three verses, and especially in verse 16 when it says, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So we want to learn about the gospel tonight. What is the message of the gospel? So let's turn over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, this will present to us one of the elements of the gospel. It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." It just means there is no one who is right, who does what is right. "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And it goes into some of the different examples of what we do that is wrong. Just skip down to verse 19. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law." That just means that if there's a speed limit, and the speed limit is for me, that means I'm under the speed limit. The speed limit's above me. It tells me what to do. "That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." So that's the purpose of the law that God has given us. It's not so that I try to live it up to it and show God how great I am, but it's so that I can look at the law and say, no, that's not me. I don't live up to that. I am guilty before God. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." I can't be made right based on what I do. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." So how can I get the righteousness of God? I'm not righteous on my own. Well, how can I get that? "By faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." There are several elements of the gospel in all of these verses. Then it says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified, made right freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Now we're going to skip over to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read three verses in Romans chapter 5. Verse 1, Romans 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified." We've seen that word already. Made right. Well, how can I be made right? "By faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So who allows me to have peace with God? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to read verse 6. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." So I'm without strength. Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8. "But God commendeth," or God displays his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So how does God communicate his love to me? God doesn't communicate his love to me by saying, you know what, I'm going to drop off 30% of your sins. Or I'm going to just mean, okay, I'm going to take all your sins, but you know the punishment you deserve, I'm just going to diminish that a little bit. No, that's not what God does. God has sent the Lord Jesus to die for us so that our sins could be completely paid for. Now we're going to go over to Romans chapter 6. We'll just read the last verse of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. So wages is what I earn. My sins are working, and what are they earning? They're earning death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So my sins are earning death, but God has given me a free gift, eternal life. And why can God offer me that? How can God just give me eternal life? Well, through Jesus Christ our Lord, because of what the Lord Jesus has done. Now we're going to turn over to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read the very first verse of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Condemnation, to condemn someone, means to say that they are guilty. But there is no guilt to them which are in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. If you are not in Christ Jesus, there is condemnation. But this verse will tell me that if I am in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Now we're going to turn over, finally, to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to start reading at verse number 9. This will be our last little section of reading. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul was writing to Rome. In Rome, there were Jewish people. And at that time in human history, for the Jews, they saw themselves as, well, you're either Jew or you're not Jew. They didn't break it up into all the different other peoples, but the Jewish people saw the world, the populations, as either Jew or non-Jew. And Paul is saying, what's wonderful about the gospel is that there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the Jew and the non-Jew, but whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's three things that I want to attempt to share with you tonight. The first thing is, what does the gospel say? Just according to Romans, according to all these verses, what does the gospel tell us? And if you have been to many gospel meetings before, you'll know that many of these verses that I read, the person preaching will just read one of them, and they can speak for quite a long time about just one of these verses, because there are so many elements in them. But I just wanted to read several, and we'll refer to them. The second thing I wanted to think of, just because my thoughts really started off from Romans chapter 1, where it talks about the power of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So why is the message of the gospel so powerful? And then number three, hopefully through what you have already heard from Chris and through what we can hear about the gospel, hopefully you'll be attracted to this message. Hopefully you'll listen and you'll say, you know what, I think I need this. So at the end, we'll look at how can you become a part of this message of the gospel? So what does the gospel say? First, we learn in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, the gospel tells me that I am a sinner before God. So for those of you, maybe you're wondering, what is this word sinner? It's not a word that I really hear, or this is not a common word that people would say outside of a biblical context, really. So what does it mean to be a sinner? A sinner is someone who commits sin, someone who does wrong things against God. And the Bible tells me that that's me. I do things that are wrong against God. So what that means is if Chris and I have an argument and I say some really unkind things, and then that gets Chris upset and he says some really unkind things to me, you know, you might think that, well, I'm doing something wrong against Chris. Chris is doing something wrong against me. But the Bible tells me we're both sinning against God. So something very important about what the Bible teaches me what the Bible tells us through the gospel. If you start reading your Bible, you'll start in Genesis and you'll read Adam and Eve sinned against God. What they did wasn't necessarily something wrong one to another, but they sinned against God. So my sin is against God. Romans chapter 3 tells me that's actually my natural inclination. So it's not just that, well, if I get upset at Chris, that's an exception. You know, that normally I'm a really good person. But just if you catch me at the wrong moment, on the wrong day, and all the things align, I might do something wrong. It's not what Romans 3 tells me. Romans 3 tells me that actually my inclination, my natural reaction is to always do wrong things. I'm always in a state of sinning. There's always sin in me. There's always sin that's affecting me. There's always thoughts that I can be having. Chris already talked about how it's very easy for us to be boastful as just speaking about ourselves. You know, you have a conversation with someone and once they start talking about themselves, you can have a very long conversation because it just makes us feel good. We feel good speaking about ourselves. Sin comes so natural to us. So Romans 3 tells me my sin is not an exception. That's actually the norm. So if I naturally do what is wrong, we find that this is right inside of me. So no one needs to encourage me to do what's wrong. No one needs to push me to do what's wrong. No one needs to push me to be selfish. No one needs to push me to think wrong things, to be judgmental of other people. It's just naturally inside of me. Okay, so I'm a sinner. That's not great news. The next thing that we find out in these verses is that because of my sin, I am guilty before God. So I've done wrong things against him, and because of that, I'm guilty. That's what the verses tell us, that every knee may bow and all the world may become guilty before God. So unfortunately, all of us who are sinners, our sin means we're guilty before God. That's not good news. So acknowledging my guilt is going to be important. I need to tell God, God, I agree with you. You tell me that I'm guilty. You tell me that my sin has made me be against you. And I need to just simply say, God, I agree with you. I believe what you are trying to tell me. So I can't try to justify myself. I can't try to say, well, I only got upset at Chris because, he did this other thing and I tried to defend why I did that. The Bible tells me that my mouth needs to be stopped. I can't tell God that my sin was just because I was having a bad day or because I wasn't feeling well. The Bible tells me my mouth needs to be stopped. And I don't know each one here. Some of you, maybe you think of God in a very positive way. Maybe some of you, when you think of God, you think of God as what the Bible tells us, a very loving God. Maybe there's some of you and you find yourself very often getting angry with God. Maybe you're not happy with circumstances in your life that we would hopefully be very compassionate about. But maybe you aren't happy about how your life has gone. And maybe it's very often that you find yourself, you know, kind of throwing negative comments back to God. God, why is this happening? Or God, why is it like this? Why has this happened to me? And what the Bible tells us is our mouths need to be stopped. I need to stop saying negative things back to God. I need to stop criticizing God for the way things have turned out. I need to simply accept, you know what, God, I am a sinner. You tell me I'm guilty, I am guilty before you. The great news is that God is the perfect judge. What that means is I can't hide anything from God. I can't get away with something. If I really sin in a discreet way, no one else knows about it. My siblings don't know, my friends don't know, my parents don't know, no one else knows, but God knows. God hasn't missed it. God doesn't miss any of your sin. Now, that might seem a little scary. It can be scary to know that every sin that I have committed, God saw that. God knows every single thing that I've done. You know, what's great is that I can stand before you and I can tell you God has seen everything that I've done, things that I would never want anyone else to know about. But I'm not ashamed of that. I don't need to be afraid because Romans chapter 8 tells us there's no condemnation. So I tell you that God knows everything you've done, but not to try to scare you, but simply so that you can acknowledge that's not good. God knows everything I've done. I better deal with this situation. But the other side of that is because God is the perfect judge, that means that I'm not going to be blamed for something that I haven't done. God is only going to judge me for exactly what I've done that is wrong. So what's the next part of the gospel that we find in the book of Romans? Well, Romans 3 and 23 tells me that because I'm a sinner, I fall short of the glory of God. What that means is that God has a standard for right living. This is how a person should live. God created this world. He made humans. And he told us, humans in my creation, this is how humans should live. This is my standard of glory. This is how I am. God wanted his creation to act like him. But the Bible tells us, because of my sin, I fall short of that. And what that means is, I can't go to heaven. You know, there's lots of other, I'll rephrase. There are many people in this world who, unfortunately, have been taught and believe that humans are generally good people, and that as long as you are generally known by your community as a good person, when you die, you'll go to heaven. And it's very unfortunate, because it's not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches me is that I have fallen short of the glory of God. That's what Romans 3 and 23 tells us. I have fallen short of the glory of God. God is a standard. I've fallen short of it. And that means I can't go to heaven when I die. That means I can't have a relationship with him. That means I can't have peace with God. That means I can't enjoy a knowing that God will take me home to heaven with him, because I have fallen short of his standard. So those are three elements of the gospel. I'm a sinner. Because of my sin, I'm guilty before God. And because I'm guilty before God, that means I've fallen short of his standard and I can't go to heaven. Three different elements of the gospel. But the amazing thing is Romans 3 and 24 tells us, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So what does that mean? It says being justified freely. So we've already talked about it. I'm a sinner. I am not right with God. I've fallen short of his standard. But God can look at me and God can look at you and tell you, you have been made right. So you're not right right now in our sin. We're not right. But God says, I can justify you. I can make you right with me freely. How can God do that? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So again, redemption, not a word that I use colloquially or whatever that word is. I don't use that casually with my friends when we're hanging out around the campfire, the word redemption. What does that mean? It means to be bought back with a price. So I'm not right with God. I have sinned against him. And because of that, God actually took my sin and he laid that on the Lord Jesus on the cross. So you might wonder, why do Christians put such a high importance on the Lord Jesus? What has the Lord Jesus done for us? Well, the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he died for our sins, and God took all of my sins and laid that on him. So the Lord Jesus paid for all of my sins. All of my guilt has been laid on him. He is redeeming me. The Lord Jesus is buying me back because of what he has done. So the price for my redemption has been paid for by the Lord Jesus. That is great news. So you can know tonight that you have been made right. God can tell you, you are right with me because the Lord Jesus paid for your sins. Everything you have done has been paid for. So what else does the gospel tell us about the Lord Jesus? Romans 5 and 6 tells us that Christ died for the ungodly. So Jesus Christ loved you so much that he was actually willing to die for you. Romans 5 and 8 tells us God commends his love. God displays his love in that Christ. How does God display his love towards us? That Christ died for us. God actually sent the Lord Jesus into the world to die for us. So why is the gospel so amazing? Why do we love to share the gospel message? Well, yes, the gospel message is brutally honest about our situation. It's brutally honest about our sin. It doesn't hide anything. It just tells us our real situation. But it also tells us that the God who looks at my sin and says, you've fallen short, you're guilty, that God also loves me so much, he sent the Lord Jesus to die for me. And because of all those things, that brings us to Romans 8 and 1. So that's why I love just the way the verse is worded. There is therefore now no condemnation. So because of everything that has happened, so we're sinners, but Jesus died for us. And because of all that, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. I don't know if you have ever felt guilty because of your sin. I don't know if you've ever done something wrong and you've kind of felt, that wasn't very good. I kind of feel like I'm not a great person because of that. I feel like that's a normal thing for humans to feel. The amazing thing about Romans 8 and 1 tells us that God, the holy God,
can actually look at you and tell you, you believe in my son? Oh, that's great. There is no condemnation now for you. I will never tell you that you are guilty because of your sins. There, you will never be punished for your sins because of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So, those are just many different elements of the gospel message. So now, why is the gospel message so powerful? Well, one thing that I was thinking of, and I have to go quickly for the sake of time, one thing that I was thinking of, what makes the gospel message so powerful, so strong, is that who died for us? The Lord Jesus is our creator. Now, I don't know if you've ever created something. Maybe 2 weeks ago, some of the students that I teach, we're learning about the Middle Ages. And so we decided that they would build these medieval cities. You know, I don't know, maybe just the size of this thing. And some of them made it out of Lego. Most of them made it out of a combination of popsicle sticks and hot glue, which is very expensive to buy. But, you know, they built all of these medieval cities. But I thought, I was blown away. I thought these projects were just the coolest things I'd ever seen. But I would never think that the project was as amazing as the students that had made them. You know, like we're comparing different things here. So the projects were amazing in their own right. But obviously the students who had made them are much higher. You know, I mean, they're humans, living, breathing. You know, the projects are just, you know, made out of, popsicle sticks and glue. So obviously the projects aren't as amazing as the designers. That's just like creation. God, the God of all this world, he created this world. So this world is amazing. We love this world. The creation, all the things that God has made, you know, the oceans, incredible. Forests, incredible. All the parts of all the animals, incredible. Well, obviously, the God who made this is much greater. You know, the creation's amazing, but the God who made it is so much greater. What's incredible is that the God who is so much greater than this creation actually came into this world. He died on the cross for you. The Lord Jesus came into this world. So he's the creator, so much greater than this creation. But he actually came into this world and died for us. That's one of the things that makes this gospel message so powerful, that it was actually the creator who died for the creation. The next thing I was thinking of, maybe it's more of a theological point, but the Lord Jesus is eternal. He always was and he always will be. The Lord Jesus didn't come into existence when he was born. He was born into this world. He always was. That means that he is entirely able to die for your sins. Now, the last thing that I want to mention is simply when we think of Rome, you know, the Roman Empire, it's a fascinating subject for me. Well, Rome was an amazing empire, but it fell. What about the gospel? The gospel is inviting you to join a kingdom that will never fall. So that's the last reason why I was thinking of why the gospel message is so powerful. That the gospel message is creating a community of people, a kingdom that will never fall. So how can you become a part of it? I'm just going to read off four of the different verses that we've read about that talk about how you can become a part of this community, this kingdom. Chapter 1 and verse 17, it tells us the just shall live by faith. So you can't earn this. It comes by faith alone. Then we talked about how the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all them that believe. So do you believe that Jesus actually died for you? If you believe that Jesus died for you, good news. You are part of this kingdom. You're part of this community. You are redeemed if you believe that Jesus truly died for you. Romans 6 and 23 tells me, the gift of God is eternal life. So God is offering you a gift. So the question is, do you have that gift? Have you ever received that gift? You know, if you have a gift, that means you have received the gift. So my question to you would be, has there been a moment in your life, for the very first time, God offered you the gift and you actually took it? Has that ever happened? Have you actually taken the gift? That's how you become a part of this community. And the last thing it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So have you ever called on the name of the Lord? Have you ever called out and said, God, I'm a sinner. And I would love to trust in the Lord Jesus and be saved forever. I would love to be redeemed. Have you ever called on his name? The verse says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So have you called on his name? If you have called on his name, that means that I have told God, God, I understand I'm a sinner. I confess that. I accept. I believe what you tell about me. But your word tells me Jesus died for me. And I call out for you to save me. So the verse says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. We'll pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we can read these words, that whosoever
shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We would pray that tonight someone may, for the first time, call on the name of the Lord. We would love for someone to be saved, to know forever that their sins have been forgiven. So we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.